Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this New Year's Day is found in 1 John chapter 2. Our sermon text is verses 15 to 17, but we read verses 1 through 17. My children, I write these things to you so that you will not sin. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the whole world. This is how we know that we have known him, if we keep his commands. The one who says, I know him, but does not keep his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If anyone keeps God's word, the love of God is truly made complete in him. This is how we know that we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk as Jesus walked. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one that you have had since the beginning. The old command is the message you heard. At the same time, the command I am writing is new. It is true in Jesus and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is still in the darkness. The one who loves his brother remains in the light, and nothing causes him to stumble. The one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven because of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God remains in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, boasting about material possessions, is not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the one who does the will of God remains forever. So far our reading. Dear people of God, on Christmas, the Apostle John gave us many things to think about for years to come. How Jesus is the Word of God. How Jesus is the light of the world. How Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And how he put on flesh in order to save us. Today, in John's first letter, he gives us more to ponder by having us think about the Father and the Father's relationship with the world, and therefore our relationship with the Father and the world. What it comes down to is, love the world, but don't love the world. One thing is clear in these difficult words from John is that we are to love God above all things. It is as simple as the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Thing is, the first commandment is not simple at all. We don't love God the way we're supposed to. If we could keep this one commandment, then we could have a shot at keeping any of the others. But because we don't love God above all things, we don't keep any of the commandments from the beginning. What it comes down to is that we love ourselves and our ideas and our thoughts much more than we love what God has to say. And so we start in sin. John urges us to love God above all things. Why? Well, he says, because your sins have been forgiven because of his name. God's love for us is to overwhelm us and to color everything in our lives. Everything is to be done in the light of God's love and mercy toward us sinners, even our relationship to the world. We all know the most famous Bible passage, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loves the world. And since we are in the world, that must mean that God loves us also. And he sent his Son to save us. John says the same thing here in 1 John chapter 2. He says, Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the whole world. The Father, in his love for the world, sent his Son into the world to suffer and die to save the world. Yes, the Father loves the world that much that he sacrificed his Son for it. And we are to love the world also, so that we spread the saving message of Jesus to the world, so that they too can be saved by the message of Jesus Christ. That's the only way anyone can be saved. In our love and in our thanksgiving to God, we are to love the world and show them how they can be saved in Jesus. The thing that John makes equally clear in this chapter is that we are not to love the world. We are not to be like them. We are to have no part in them, lest we lose our faith and die with them. Do you see how stuck we are? We are to love the world so much that we are to give them Jesus, but at the same time, we are to keep totally away from them so that we are not condemned with them. In the past, solutions to this problem included running away from the world. This is why monasteries and cloisters were made, so that people could hide from the evil of the world. The thing is that those monks and nuns were sinners, and they brought sin with them into the monasteries, and those monasteries and cloisters became more evil than the world outside. Another solution to this problem in the past has been to make the world more holy by kingly decree or by passing holy moral laws. But all that does is to give people the false impression that they are Christian without any faith in Jesus. Remember, no one can be saved by the law. This is a very real problem, and it's a very old problem for us Christians trying to live in this world. We are to love the world, but we are not to love the world. We are to save the world by being apart from them. The key to this problem is understanding. The key is not trying to fix the problem, but to live understanding the problem. This is why man has had a very bad track record in dealing with this problem, because men, males, always want to fix everything. But this is a problem that cannot be fixed. What we are supposed to do is just live understanding this problem and wrestle with it every single day. And the way to do that is by good old-fashioned Bible study. For when I am in God's Word, when I have the things of God in the front part of my mind, then I can see people in the world as lost souls. And only then can I love them the way God wants me to. Only then can I pity them. Only then can I have mercy on them like God would have me. Then I can be with them, giving them Christ as best I can, but all the while not falling into their traps of temptation and sin and covetousness and lust and greed. This is terribly difficult. Especially when I have a TV in my house preaching the opposite, telling me that greed is good, that money is how we measure everything in this world, that God is silly, and that church is a waste of time. See, the world has a leg up on us from the get-go because we come from the world. The things that the world tantalizes us with are appealing to us because our sinful nature wants those things. This is terribly difficult, and God knows it. The key is to understand that. Understand that it's difficult and to keep going. The Apostle Paul tells us to fight the good fight. Fighting. Keep fighting. Our whole life long, we have to keep fighting until we die and can go to heaven, and then we can rest. But until then, every day is a fight. A fight against the world's temptations and a fight against my sinful nature that wants all this stuff that the world has and offers. Sounds hopeless. However, we have the Father. We have the Father on our side. The same Father who created everything in this world. The same Father who sent his Son into the world to suffer for us, to save our souls. The same Father who chose us for salvation through his grace and mercy alone. With him on our side, we can endure all these things. And we can reach the finish line of life in faith in Jesus. With him, we can even live in this world without being a part of this world. And all the while, offer Jesus and his salvation to the world. Let us end this old year in repentance, confessing all of our failures to the Father and trusting him for full and free forgiveness in Jesus Christ as he has promised us in Holy Scripture. And let us begin the new year with our eyes open, with our eyes open to the temptations that the world puts before us, but also our eyes open to the power of God who lives for us. We are God's people in Christ. Let us be God's people, even out in the world. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.